Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, October the 8th. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
And we have a special guest in the studio today, Miss Cynthia Lacunza, or Mrs. Cynthia Lacunza, I should say. An extraordinary chiropractor.
Hello. Welcome.
And an orange-pilled Bitcoiner.
Yes.
She is now.
We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for
having
me.
Yeah, glad that we got another one.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then Liam's in the booth producing the
good
show.
Good morning or afternoon.
It is morning somewhere.
It is always morning somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, so he's going to keep us out of trouble.
Try to.
Yes. And he'll be monitoring the chat room, so if you want to check in with us there. So, and speaking about that, you could chat with us on X or Telegram at Tokens Radio Show. And you can find a copy of today's show and previous shows, news, and resources on our website at tokensradioshow.com. And you can also find our archive shows here, right here at kcnr1460.com.
Yeah, so if you want to learn more and get more orange pills,
that's right.
You can always go back and listen. And then you can use them to orange pill somebody else.
That's right.
I will. And how long have you been doing the show?
Almost. Oh, it'd be 2 years in December.
Wow. Really?
I got a lot of shows to listen to then.
Well, you can pick and choose. But, yeah, good reference.
Yeah.
So, this is where we like to talk about future money, freedom, and personal responsibility. And today we're going to be talking about our trip down to Pacific Bitcoin, the festival that they had in Santa Monica. And all three of us had gone down there and with another friend who's in Texas. And we had a great time and brought back a bunch of things to share with you.
A lot of information. A lot of good information that we picked up from
there.
We're
really happy.
And it was
that.
Way different. And we'll go over that.
Absolutely. And we had good rooming arrangements. The food wasn't too bad.
The food was great. The chef sometimes, though.
the chef was a little OCD.
Yeah. Christy's a good cook, though.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah, it was really good. Okay. We had a good time. Was in a nice neighborhood down there. I mean, the whole thing was just awesome.
Yeah.
I thought.
We met Lauren over there from the Reading Bitcoin Meetup.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun.
And we met a lot of other people, and it was just amazing the people we met.
Yeah. They're always a good group.
Yeah.
Speaking about Bitcoin, it's currently at 27,896, and boy, it really wants to go to 28, and I wanted to see it go over 28 and sit there for a while and go up even more. But this is what it keeps kissing, 28 and going back down. Ethereum's at 1635, XRP is at 51 cents, and XLM is at 11 cents. Kind of the same numbers as last week, and
a week
before that, and a week before that.
But just before we came on, while I was grabbing a bite to eat between shows, I saw where Matt Kaiser says that Bitcoin's going to go up to 225,000. That's his prediction.
We'll see what we know. It's going to go up. We know it's going to go up. It's just... it's not if,
it's
when.
It's when.
Right.
Just like, when is the dollar going to fall? It will. It's just when.
Yeah, that might be pretty soon.
Yeah. So, anyway.
So, if you've looked at the news lately, but that's for a different show.
We did a lot of that this morning.
Well, today's show is sponsored by the Queen of Dragons. This local establishment takes great pride in delivering top quality items at competitive prices. They ensure the safety and freshness of all their offerings through rigorous testing. On that note, listener Jay enthusiastically shares, Queen of Dragons has helped me in managing the side effects of the medications I take for a chronic debilitating condition that disrupts my sleep and has ruined my appetite. My doctor recommended gummies, but they don't work for me. The Queen of Dragons caring staff guided me in selecting suitable strains and pointed me toward reliable resources for making tinctures and edibles. Since then, my sleep has improved, and I can eat food and keep it down. I have peace in mind knowing that I would consume that what I consume from the Queen of Dragons meets the highest purity standards, sparing my body from harmful chemicals and toxins. Isn't that a great testimonial?
It really is.
Yes, it's a great one.
It's nice to hear that how yeah. some people benefit to improve their quality of life.
That's what medical freedom is all about. Queen of Dragons has a diverse range of premium products freshly packaged daily. They're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Stay updated on their deals by following at Queen Dragons on X or connect with them at 530-276-9771 or go visit them for an in-person experience. Visit the Queen of Dragons shop to explore their extensive selection.
And I hear they're really good at helping you out if you need help yes. in making the selections over there, if that is something that you're into doing.
Yeah, just listen to Jay. He's a good example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, it was a very exciting few days, ladies, yeah. wasn't it? It was great times.
Yes, we had a great time down yeah. there. Learned a lot. A little different than last year. I mean, yes. at least for us. And this is why Cynthia is here today, because we were watching her and we loved the questions. Not yes. only she was asking before the trip, but what she was asking during the trip, and she's so cute how she would go up to some of the vendors and ask them pointed questions, and I think you had them stumped a couple of times. So this is awesome, and she's a great Bitcoiner.
She yeah. is. Yeah, I was amazed some of the questions she would walk up to him and ask. It's like, that was really good.
You know, and what's,
good job.
What's nice is she never got into the Shiola coin madness.
Oh, no, we took care of that probably yeah. for her before that.
Yeah.
But, where do we want to start? How did you feel about the show, and what was your biggest takeaway to start with?
I had a great time, and I think what we all felt is everybody there was so wonderful and was willing to talk to you and answer your questions and help. Everybody was just really into it and excited. So that was a lot of fun.
I have to say, one thing about it, even last year, the people at these events are some of the nicest people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you go to an event, and most of the time people are good, but you always have, you know, a few that kind of spoil it. I've never experienced that at one of these
right.
Bitcoin events, yeah. which is really nice.
Everybody was willing to start a conversation with you.
Yeah.
All you had to do was go up and start talking.
Say hi.
Yeah.
I'm Linda, and that
yeah,
was,
exactly.
there you go.
Even the ones that you see on YouTube, the influencers, mm-hmm. one, Peter St. Ong, we had
a great
conversation
yeah, he
with
was
him
really
before
cool.
he went on stage.
Yeah.
Very approachable and down to earth. Mark Moss was there. We didn't get to chat with him. You know who else I thought about that we saw, and bless her heart, Elizabeth, if you're out there listening.
Oh, yeah.
From the Reading Bitcoin Meetup. Now, she volunteered, and that's that was her ticket in to go into the Bitcoin Festival. And
she was dressed up.
Some of the things we will do, but just, hey, kudos to you, Elizabeth.
Now,
was it was awesome.
Cinderella or Snow White? Or
she was dressed in, yeah, I said a wench of some sort. But, and girl, those shoes you had to wear, much respect to you. So good for you, but it was good to see you, and you look like you were having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and the food trucks. Oh, my gosh.
The food trucks were busy, and they had a lot of good food on them.
Yeah. Look at all the people we sat down and talked with. Was it Teresa and Robert?
They were a very interesting couple.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more vendors we talked to than the time before. And there was different wallets. There was merchandise like T-shirts, jerseys like what we got, little T-shirts for the little kids. I got one. I think you did, too, for your granddaughter. I got one for my grandson. And all those people were great. And we had the guy that does the beef there.
Yeah.
A lot of times you don't realize what kind of vendors would be there, but he's always there. And it's great. And not only he's got a lot of information, but his beef sticks are to die for. They're really, really good.
Yep. I thought they were better than Chomps.
Yeah. They were great. So what else was there?
Well,
we had.
I have to say, though, Christy looks very spiffy in her new jersey.
I know. I was going to wear mine, and I forgot it. But isn't it cool looking?
Yes, it's very nice.
So to kind of give you what she's got on is like a baseball jersey. That's black, and then across the front of it, it says Bitcoin. And then on the back, it says Hodler's Official Satoshi Number 9.
And we all know what number 9 means, right?
I do now.
You do now. Very good. Yay.
What does that mean?
That's when the code was released for Bitcoin to start mining. Right.
That was the Satoshi. That was the Bitcoin white paper.
Okay.
Good job.
No, you didn't get it wrong. You got it right. You just
and behind door number one, what's her prize?
And then the logo is orange.
Yes.
You
want to tell us about the orange thing? Because I have to take my hat off to you. I don't think any of us ever asked that question. Why is it orange?
Yeah, why is it called orange pilling?
Right.
Because that's what Satoshi had put out and said, what do you think of this logo? And that was orange. And because orange stands for things like freedom and energy and so on. So.
Yeah. Well, there's a slight variation
of
that. So Satoshi, this is great questions.
And yeah, it was.
This is about educating. So I'm glad that you put that out there. So it was really, it was a bee. That was, I believe, it was a white bee with a back background. Just basic. Think back to 2009, there wasn't a lot of graphics to work with. And over time, an influencer named BitBoy, Ben Armstrong, adjusted it, turned the bee to the right, put the orange color, and it took off from there. And the orange color represents gold, precious metal color associated with money and currency. That's why it was orange.
I did not realize that. But now that you mention that, and what is Bitcoin considered? The gold of cryptocurrency.
That's correct. Digital gold.
Yep.
And orange, just to go down this orange rabbit hole, orange conveys a sense of optimism, enthusiasm, and warmth. It gives a Bitcoin-friendly and approachable feel despite its digital and mathematical foundations. And if you were to look at the original Satoshi B, it's not really exciting.
But this is.
Yes. Ooh. It's much better.
And I do know when you have a logo like that on your shirt or you're wearing it, it does grab people's attention.
Yes, it does.
Because I had somebody walk up to me on it and go, what is that? Oh, I like your shirt. That's way cool. You know, so there you go.
Do you mind if we point out a couple things that was really cool that we ran into this year? The vendors, it seems like there was a maturity of vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when we got into this in 2020 and those who had been into this before, you know, 2016, 2017, and of course the very, very early adopters. I mean, it was a wild, wild west.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit last year, it was some of that. There was trading card people, which they came out with an awesome
Which they were there again. I forgot about them. Yeah.
Well, I have them with me today, by the way, the Genesis version that are not the collectibles.
Yeah, the collectibles, everybody, was a little bit high for some of us. They were $150 for a pack of them. But I'm sure they're going to retain their value.
Yeah, they all have an educational piece to them. But one of these companies that I thought was really cool and where we're getting to the maturity of this is a company called B-STEM. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, the schooling. I thought that was so cool.
Yes. So this is like an academy, and they teach STEM-based programs to build confidence and teach critical thinking skills, but they also teach blockchain technology. So these people recognize that even though in our STEM classes today, and maybe if somebody is out there and is listening right now, if this is not correct information, let us know what is being taught in the STEM classes. But from what we understand, that Bitcoin or blockchain technology has yet to make it to the STEM classes, and that this academy takes care of that. That was really cool.
And to go beyond that with the teachings nowadays, I don't think they really teach a whole lot of financial
stuff,
you know, like how to keep and you know, again, if somebody knows something different, call in or let me know later on. But they don't even, you know, have classes to teach children how to balance a checkbook or anything like that. So, and they put all that in perspective from what I was getting off of their brochure and when we talked with them.
We're seeing more multi-signature, multi-sig wallets being available.
Yes.
There was a new vendor out there called Theia. And we don't know much about this yet, but just picked up brochure. It looked pretty good. And it is it's called a 2 out of 3 multi-sig wallet. So, and multi-sig just means that somebody else has part of your keys, so your seed phrases, and the custody holder of your Bitcoin has the remaining portion of them. So you don't have to have all of your seed phrases to be able to recover your wallet. But in order for somebody to have custody of them and hold them possibly for you, okay, then they can't get into it unless they have the remaining seed phrases or enough seed phrases.
So there is a double protection there for access.
So it says secure your Bitcoin with 2 of 3 multi-sig ensuring that if one key is compromised, your funds remain secure.
Okay.
So, it's pretty cool.
I'm just trying to think when would be a time that you would use somebody else? I guess it may be wise to have something like that set up in case something happened to you and nobody else knew anything about that.
Right.
You know, would probably be a good way to be able to have it passed on to your family.
Absolutely, and I think that that's where when you have a certain amount, whatever that amount might be to you, to where you're going, oh, my gosh, this would be a disaster if I lost that, that might be the time when you send it over to a custodian, and that might be where, like, a Swan Private might come into play here, where they can help you with that and offer custody services. Like right now, they're going to be going moving over to BAC, and that's great with BitGo.
Right, right.
So that's a very good option. So I know, Cynthia, you were talking to Swan about their IRAs, right?
Yes.
What was your takeaway on that?
Oh, I want to do that. And you can start with very little amounts.
So you don't have to be rich, in other words, in order.
I asked, what are your lower amounts you can start with? He goes, if you've got $10, you can open one up.
So, see, that's what's really cool about this.
Yes. So you didn't have to have thousands of dollars to open it up.
Right. Did you guys discuss that you had to put so much in at increments, or did it matter? Did you even go there?
We didn't really go there.
Okay.
I've got to talk to someone. I got information to do that. But it didn't sound like you had to. I'm sure there's an option as long as you had a Swan account.
Yeah.
Just like anything else.
See, and that's how the industry is maturing. I mean, we're obviously in the adoption phase. we're obviously in the time where this is not going away. It's only going to keep moving forward. And as these solutions continue to grow. Another company we saw out there was Giga. I mean, they're Giga Energy. We've talked about them before. They were one of the first who was able to use stranded energy, which was the flared gas, right?
The energy that goes usually just goes to waste because there's nothing that we can do about it. You know, and some people are always saying how much it costs to do the mining for cryptocurrency, not just Bitcoin, but at all, how it's using up all the resources and blah, blah. Well, this company, like Christy was alluding to, uses like the flare-off gas.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yes, and they're able to contain that gas and then run their mining equipment on that contained flared gas and methane. So it's pretty cool, and they're growing. They have integrated their mining operations and their energy infrastructure into various things, it's called Gigabox Air, Hydro. I mean, so they have definitely advanced.
I believe you can even do off-grid on that one.
Oh, that's entirely what this is all about.
Yeah.
So it's flare mitigation and off-grid Bitcoin mining. That's right.
Nice.
They can go right out to the oil well and set up a mining operation. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and not use any energy, just recycle that energy that's out there, basically.
Yeah.
So you got any other brochures you want to discuss over there?
Well, this one's kind of funny. I always laugh at this. It's called Panties for Bitcoin. It's a company where undergarments are made.
And they're orange.
Yes, orange. They come in different colors, but it's made in Italy, and they're top quality products. You can find them online called pantiesforbitcoin.com in case you're interested in checking them out.
With the clothing like what you have on before you go on, and that we bought the jerseys, I was amazed that company is actually out of Canada.
Yeah. Called Which Hodler's is, Official.
Yeah. That was like, wow, that's way cool.
And if you're interested in that, it's Hodler's Official. HodlersOfficial.com for some really cool jerseys.
Yeah.
And they had some other things there too.
Yeah, they did. And they had, she actually had to convert the money. To be able to do the charges on a credit card correctly. So it was interesting.
And, lastly, one of the other things that are really cool is you can do all your transactions there in Bitcoin. You show up in with your wallet, move everything over on the Lightning Network or have a Lightning-enabled wallet, and you can pay your vendors all in Bitcoin. They're happy to receive that. We were buying our coffee with Bitcoin, and it's pretty cool because it gives you an opportunity to feel how you will transact in the future.
Yeah, because it's a little different. I don't know if for you to be able to do that. I don't know if we actually set you up with a wallet or anything at the time. I don't think we did. But
no, I haven't
just
yet.
Being able to see us use a card and how quickly it's done, it's like just like that.
Yeah, in fact, you were using a card. I used a scan code.
So oh, yeah.
All I had to do was say send, and so I gave them a scan code. They scanned the code, and then they were able to receive on their other end.
And speaking of which, the other girl that was rooming with us.
Yes.
Christine, I heard you guys that one night. Because you had a moon wallet and she had something else.
The wallet is Satoshi.
And it's like, well, let's just check this out. How quick will this happen? And I was laying down and it's like, I already got it. Did you get it? Yeah. I got it. And it's like, and it was just about that quick too. It's like, oh wow, that was really cool. So
we sent one Satoshi to each other, which is like 0.000001 Bitcoin. just a very minimal amount.
Yeah,
what, was that, like 5 cents? Or?
Not even.
Oh. That was just really neat to hear. So yeah. I guess with that, it's about time we take a break. And then when we come back, we'll get some questions maybe from Cynthia and do some discussion on that. And you are listening to Tokens Radio Show. We'll see you in about 3 minutes.
Penelope Smith here with the latest local updates. In our first brief, the Shasta County Sheriff's Office is conducting an investigation involving conservative groups and individuals who believe the 2020 election was stolen. The Sheriff's Office has records from a public records request from the organization American Oversight regarding communications between the sheriff and 20 election fraud groups, but is not releasing them due to an exemption for confidential investigative files. Some of the named individuals say they have not been contacted by the sheriff's office. In our second brief, California Governor Gavin Newsom recently signed Assembly Bill 854, which is a 25-year compact with the Redding Rancheria. The compact recognizes the tribe's ability to move the casino to I-5 just south of South Bonneview Road. The final federal approval lies with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The compact also allows the tribe to distribute funds directly to local governments rather than through the state, which has not been distributing the funds. Overall, the compact with the state is a major milestone for the tribe and its efforts to move the casino to a more advantageous location along the interstate. On the status of the jail, Shasta County Sheriff Michael Johnson has announced a plan to reopen the now closed floor of the county jail by Thanksgiving. Johnson said the department will accomplish this by temporarily reassigning sworn and non-sworn employees from other divisions within the sheriff's office to help staff the jail. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors was unable to vote on October 5, 2023 on a zoning change to allow the expansion of rides and attractions at the Hawes Farm due to a lack of quorum. Three of the five supervisors, Patrick Jones, Kevin Cry, and Mary Rickert, recused themselves from the vote because of conflicts of interest, leaving only two supervisors present. This created uncertainty about when a vote could occur. Options include the board researching ways for current members to vote, one of the recused members deciding to vote after all, or waiting indefinitely until a new board is elected that could form a quorum. Hawes Farm has been adding rides and attractions beyond what's allowed under its current planned development zoning and wants to rezone part of its land as a commercial recreation to allow the expansions. Neighbors oppose the change. The Planning Commission has forwarded a recommendation for approval to the board. The farm's popular fall festival featuring a pumpkin patch, corn maze, and haunted house can operate under the current zoning. On another note, a bill allowing Amsterdam-style cafes in California cities that opt in has passed the state legislature and awaits Governor Gavin Newsom's signature. AB 374 would let local governments license lounges where people could legally buy and consume cannabis on site. The cafes are modeled on those in Amsterdam, offering cannabis along with food, drinks, and entertainment. Haney hopes the bill will aid existing cannabis businesses and attract more tourists. Though recreational marijuana is legal in California, dispensaries currently only allow sales. The bill would take effect January 1, 2024, but only in cities and counties that approve cafes. If signed, the Cannabis Cafe Bill would make California the first state to allow on-site cannabis lounges. Lastly, the Shasta County Veterans Office will be hosting its last town hall meeting of the year tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the BOS Board Chambers. These meetings are held to update our local veterans on any happenings with the VSO, to answer and discuss questions and concerns from attendees, and to provide a way for our veterans' voices to be heard. VSO town hall meetings are open to the public and will be held in the Board of Supervisors Chambers at 1450 Court Street in Redding, California. Thank you for listening to your Shasta Lake Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook, or at 420 Truth Teller on X, formerly Twitter.
Welcome back. We got everybody dancing today. Hey, good music is good music. Yeah. I don't care who you are.
Good choice there, Liam.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, before we took the break, we were talking about our couple days down in Santa Monica and about Cynthia being in the studio with us. But I know she has some questions because after we brought it up to her, she had her little notepad and she was always writing down, oh, I'm going to write, that's a question.
Yes.
So.
I have a whole page.
I knew you would. How come I knew that would happen? So let's just hit it off. What's your first question?
Well, the first one is proof of work versus proof of stake. What is that? And exactly what is the work that it's based on and how is it associated with energy?
Okay. Well, to start with, proof of work is what it takes to validate transactions. It's like a puzzle, and that's what it does, proof of work. You have to work at it in order for the puzzle to be solved for the transaction in the blockchain.
And make a new block.
Right. Tick-tock, new block.
Exactly. Yeah, because the blocks, they need to fit with each other. Okay, so you create a chain. It's called a blockchain. So if there's an invalid transaction, it's not going to fit into that chain. It will be kicked out.
And it's not just there's several validators that have to agree it's going to make another block.
And is this all in the code that was
correct?
Made? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other part is that there are a number of miners, what's called miners around the world, and validator nodes can simply be a computer like this. It could be like a little itty-bitty Raspberry Pi. I don't know if you know this one at my house. It's right over there by the TV. That's a little validator right there. Really teeny tiny, or you can have a big mining computer that's validating the transactions. But they're validating transactions, but you also have computers. They use a lot of energy, and we'll talk about the energy piece in just a moment. But they're also solving cryptographic puzzles. So they're algorithms that they have to solve, and they have certain levels of complexity. When there's a lot of usage, high usage on the system, the complexity is greater. That also called hash rate. When there's less demand or less hash rate, the complexity is eased, and it's all done by code. There is no one running this thing.
When we get further in and closer to all of Bitcoin being mined, the complexity goes up.
Right.
And it takes more energy because you have to search more and more and more to try to make it go together to get the code. Does that make sense?
A little bit.
Yeah. You know, it's all an algorithm. So with so many, it's like the alphabet. You got so many letters in combination, and the more that those combinations get used up, the harder it is to make the next one.
Okay.
Is that kind of help there?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, you had talked about energy. Solving these mathematical equations take a lot of energy. That's called proof of work. Whichever miner solves the equation is awarded the block, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're working for it. That's called proof of work. It's just not poof, we create it like fiat currency. Right? Nobody's working for that. But these miners are working, and when we say miners, they're computers, okay? There are people that maintain and hook up the computers and make sure that they're operating correctly, but it's the machines that are doing the work. Now, they get their energy a lot. They used to get such a bad rap, and in some cases, those who are anti-Bitcoin and maybe just don't really understand it, they think that they're a huge energy hog. But really what the Bitcoin community has done is that they have found ways to use stranded energy. So there's stranded energy that comes from flared off gas. So that would be primarily one of the first finds was the flared off gas from the fracking operations. So these miners would take these trailers out to the oil rigs and be able to contain that methane gas and convert it into electricity to run their mining equipment. But, you know, they're able to do that with wind.
Also, while you're on the gas thing, and I think it was it in Washington they did it off of the dumps? It was somewhere.
The methane out of the dumps.
The methane
that
the dumps released, they were capturing it and turning it into electricity so they could use that for mining.
Yes.
Which was way cool.
Now, what's really cool about the stranded energy is that we don't want to be using energy that other people are demanding from the grid. So what Bitcoin mining has done is that they use the stranded energy during non-peak hours. So if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. It's just common knowledge, especially coming from solar or anything else. The farther down the line it goes without it being used, it just goes away. It's wasted. So this is a way of capturing it and using it for a non-peak time. So it's very good for the grid. It keeps the grid healthy and running at all times.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, the propaganda that, you know, miners are bad and, you know, having a strain, like you said, on the grid and stuff. Most, and you saw it, the Bitcoiners and stuff, they're not that type of individuals. We're looking for solutions, the best thing for humanity in everything.
Right.
So, you know, they could, with the gas and stuff, not only used for mining, but it can be used for other things.
Right. And can add one more thing to this energy part of this is that they're finding that they can use the mining equipment to warm buildings because they do put off quite a bit of warmth. So it's another way of recapturing the energy usage and applying and repurposing it. Pretty cool, isn't it?
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these Bitcoin operators are pretty smart.
Excellent.
Yeah. So did that
did
answer
we get
the
that,
question?
Did that make it more clear?
It helps make it solidifies it better.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
And she didn't ask about proof of stake, but that's okay.
Did she ask about proof of stake?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, proof of stake is just you have to put up your if you're going to use Bitcoin, you'll have to put up your Bitcoin, and you can't use it, sell it or anything, but you're putting that up to support the network. Okay. And you will get rewards for supporting the network by not being able to use your Bitcoin supply or other cryptocurrencies where many of them are proof of stake. And that is how they support their networks.
Yeah, it's kind of like a savings account that you can draw against, kind of. Like
weird,
a CD.
Yeah.
It's
you
a stretch.
Yeah, but, you know, where you put it, and it's the collateral.
And I know, too, with Bitcoin, there's a finite amount. Is proof of stake more? There's no finite amount?
Depends on the blockchain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on what it is.
Right. There are cryptocurrencies that are proof of stake. That's their consensus model. And they will have a limited amount of tokens. XRP is one of those. But they're kind of like, I don't know, how many billions of tokens. So it's going to take a while before that one runs out.
Exactly.
Compared to 21 million, which will only go until 2140. Yeah. So it's a
but a lot of
ago.
Them, like you say, there isn't.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what.
Okay. Well, that kind of brings me to the next question.
What
actually drives the price of Bitcoin? I mean, how is it? The worth decided, because you were talking about what it is at today. It goes up and down and fluctuates. What drives that fluctuation?
Well, part of it is buying and selling. Who's buying and selling and how much?
Well, demand.
Pardon me?
It's the demand.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like the stock market. What makes the stock market go up and down? People are buying shares or selling their shares, you know.
So when it went down a few months ago, when it was down like 16, 15, the demand just wasn't there, and the demand is getting more now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back when it went, I'm sorry, but when it went way down, some of it is people like, Musk that sold off a bunch of their Bitcoin to drive it down, and we call them whales, and you'll know why, is they drive the price down, and then when it gets to a certain point, then they go and buy big blocks of it up, so to speak, a lot of it, because other people do the same thing. If you see Musk selling all of his stuff, oh, it's going apart, it's falling to pieces, I'm going to sell my Bitcoin, so it floods the market even more, and then the other investors, a lot of them come back behind and gobble it all up at a good price, then it drives it back up again.
So they're trying to manipulate the Bitcoin market.
Well, it is somewhat manipulation. Then there are some institutions who are taking scheduled profit taking. So there are institutions that are managing mm-hmm. pension plans and all sorts of things, and they have scheduled times for rebalancing accounts and taking profits mm-hmm. Sharing or reallocating to another bucket of investments. So that could be it. The other part, and Linda was getting here with that, is that when you have large institutions or you have a big player like Elon Musk or others who might be considered large players, whales, for instance, and they buy and sell. They're not hodlers like a Michael
right.
Saylor, okay? You get the fear of missing out. So when you get the new coiner or somebody who doesn't have a large investment in the market and they're still learning, it's fearful. They're going, oh, my gosh, the world is ending. My investment is going away. I had better sell and cut my losses now. And I'm sorry to say, but these big players, they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they can acquire more and more Bitcoin because and any other type of currency out there because it's
fair.
Not easy to get. There's not a lot of it left out there. So the supply that's there is by those who are willing to sell theirs. So how do you do it? Create a little scarcity yeah. and concern
and
into the market.
Create the sell-off yeah. so that it's available for you to pick up.
Right.
That's why we always say we're hodlers.
Uh-huh.
Let it rip, baby, because we're not selling ours.
Right. And you made a good point. It's the same like with gold and silver,
yep.
Bitcoin. They do the same thing. People, because of the fear and not understanding the long or the end goal of a lot of that stuff, the minute the price goes down, they think that they're losing money, and the fear is that I better get something or I'm never going to have anything, and it's actually the opposite. And so it's retraining
okay.
the brain.
So and if I might add,
yeah.
and just to close out that point, you haven't lost anything
correct,
or gained anything until you sell it. So always keep that in mind, and we can't emphasize that enough. This isn't just about Bitcoin. This is about any kind of investing, whether it's
correct.
Gold, silver, stocks,
real estate,
collector items, art, antiques, anything like that. That's just how it works.
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't know if anyone would be able to answer this one, but can Bitcoin ever be destroyed?
In which way?
It's gone.
I don't think so.
Like you can burn your money, paper money, you can burn it.
Right.
You can destroy it. You know, you can melt coins. Besides losing it or losing your seed phrases.
I was going to say, that's the only way that comes.
Basically, is that about the only way you
can... Would you mean on an individual basis or taking down the entire system?
Taking down the entire system.
I think that that would be the least of our concerns because, and I'm being facetious but also honest about this, there are so many miners around the world, enough to support this network. Let's say that we had a blackout or
EMP.
An EMP, and it took out a region of the world. Even if it shut down every one of the miners, the nodes, at some point in time, once an energy source is found, it will be able to start that right back up again. So I think it is very, very difficult to get rid of it unless the entire Earth was annihilated.
Okay. Good answer. That's
yeah.
kind of where I was going to go.
It's very
that.
Solid.
Yeah. And I would think a lot of the miners already have backup plans for something like that. So I don't think it would be that long in between it shutting down and coming on again for them.
At that point, it's a matter of it's survival of humanity.
Yeah.
Okay. So that kind of brings me to another question here. What are the reasons that the average person, maybe that have they don't know much about Bitcoin or whatever, what would be their reasons to start using Bitcoin, spending it, buying it, hodling it?
One of the things would be that they could see what's happening with the fiat dollar and try to protect themselves. Also, Bitcoin doesn't care who you are, how much money you got, or anything. You can invest at your own pace, whatever's you're comfortable with. You know, so many other things. I mean, like gold, let's be real. To invest into gold, you have to have an X amount of money that you can...
Right. Before a broker will sell it to you or a
dealer. You know what I mean? You've got to buy like an ounce, okay? And most people can't. There's a lot of people that can't.
Right.
Where Bitcoin, it could be $5, it could be $10, it could be $1 million, whatever you're comfortable with. So that's what I really like about it. And it doesn't care who you are. It doesn't look at what your status is in the world or in your community or anything. It's just what you feel comfortable in buying to help with future stuff. Like I say, we know that the dollar is going to flop. And you're going to have some way of exchanging. We do know it's in place for Bitcoin to be part of that new system.
True. My stab at this is it's a hedge against inflation, like Linda's alluding to. If you take a look at where we are with inflation today, let's say I think we're hovering right under 10% if you look at the total market. And let's say you have $10,000, $100,000, and you do nothing with it. You leave it in the bank or you just sit on it. In 10 years from now at 10%, it's worthless. So, but the way our financial system works, the Federal Reserve will only print more money and debase it even more. So even though you might still have $10,000, $100,000 showing in your bank account or on your ledger, so to speak, look how much harder you have to work. How much more expensive things will be because of that. So Bitcoin, and Christina was so perfect about this.
Oh, yeah.
She got this. I don't know if you, same thing with you, Liam, but the younger folks get this very well, and especially from somebody coming in from another country. She goes, I just don't understand. Bitcoin is the same price all over the world.
And it is.
That's true, no matter what the currency is.
That's right.
Correct.
It's a world currency. That's what cryptocurrency is, a world currency. And I'm saying cryptocurrency because Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. It is not an altcoin. It is the OG of all cryptocurrency. But nonetheless, it operates the same way.
It's like a universal language that everybody understands.
So if you're coming from a war-torn country or a country where they've severely debased their currency, I mean, they know they would much rather have Bitcoin rather than, you know, a wheelbarrow full of, you know, their dinars or whatever the case is because, I mean, how hard is it to carry that around and it's not worth really the paper it's written on or printed on.
And what makes it nice is, again, no matter where it is, you don't have to worry about converting it or anything.
Right.
Because it, again, it's
that's
the
right.
same.
So
universal.
You can go travel all over the world, and Bitcoin is Bitcoin is Bitcoin. You don't have to exchange anything to buy something.
Can I finish one thing off? Yes. I would say, you want to hold some of this for long term. It's like if you have a windfall, you don't go out and spend it all. I mean, that's entirely your choice. But you know, you also want to have something set aside for the rainy day. And because it's becoming more and more scarce, the chances of it increasing in value is much greater. So if you just hold on to it, it's going to be worth more down the road, especially in an extremely debased economy.
That segues into my next question.
Okay, great.
With I don't know if you call it a hard wallet or a cold storage.
Okay.
But you were talking about Thea. We talked about passport. There was, I forget the other one.
Was it Jade?
Jade,
there was Jade, yeah.
What are things that you think about when you choose something like that?
One of them, so
different, I don't know what to look for.
Yeah. One of the main things I learned is to get it directly from the manufacturer of whatever wallet you're looking at. That's one of the main things because...
That's for a hardware wallet.
For a hardware wallet.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that, and I've been lucky, but like to go to Amazon or somewhere.
Don't go there.
Oh, no. I would have never done that yet.
So, yeah. I did that, but I think I'm okay. But, yeah. That was one thing I learned kind of the hard way.
Yeah, and there's different types of wallets. You have software wallets, hardware wallets. A hardware wallet is something that is not on your phone. Okay, you're not carrying it around with you. There are cryptocurrency computers. So those you can use an online wallet, like Exodus is a very good wallet. But it is on the Internet. That's a way you can access it, and you can access it from your mobile phone. So if you have quite a bit, it's going to be the end of all ends if you lost your investment. It should be in a hardware wallet, something not connected to the Internet. There are wallets, there are hardware wallets where you have a brief connection to the Internet, but usually there's a bridge technology or bridge software that allows you to do it in a very secure way, like using Tor network, that type of thing.
So that would be something, let's say you're going to HODL,
right?
And you're just storing it away, you're stacking it away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
That's what you want to look for.
Yeah, it's the safest. Whatever it's just like anything in your wallet, your purse or whatever, you're not going to go carry around your life savings in there, and you really don't want to carry around something that you are going to be heartbroken. I mean, we'll all be upset if we lost our wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have $20, $30 in it, it's the end of the day for
a
little
deal
while.
It's 30,000 or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to have that same mentality with your wallet.
Don't want to, you know, take the money out of your wallet and stick it in your windshield and let everybody know that you have it.
Exactly.
Either.
Yeah.
So you want to protect yourself.
Oh.
You know, that's kind of extreme. But that's what you're doing when you leave it on the Internet, or could be doing, is letting everybody know, hey, here I am.
Well, you're just saying something really golden that needs to be said. You just shouldn't tell anybody that you have investments in cryptocurrencies at all. I mean, it's okay to say, hey, you know, I like Bitcoin, I like this, that. Never tell people what you have, where you might have it, how you're storing it, or anything like that. Okay?
Sounds good. And these hard wallets or cold storage, is there a capacity, finite capacity they hold? Or because it's blockchain, it doesn't matter?
Oh, that one,
well,
you may know that, Chris.
There is, I'm going to say.
I would think there is.
I'm going to say that, no, there isn't a capacity because it's just code. But there is some limitations on certain wallets. There are Bitcoin-only wallets.
Mm.
There are some wallets that will accept almost everything, and then there are, you know, like Trezor, for instance, will just recently started taking XRP, but they don't take XLM. So you will have to use multiple wallets. And I just think having multiple wallets is a good idea anyway.
Right.
Now,
protection.
And
yes.
These wallets, how long are they good for? Just like, you know, I have flash drives and stuff. Mm-hmm. Once in a while they fail. Do these wallets ever fail?
Sure they can.
And so what do you do? Do you keep replacing them every few years? Or
I think if you start seeing some difficulty with it, that's why you have your seed phrases. And you want to keep your seed phrases away from that stored wallet.
You may want to store it in a couple different wallets.
I think
we're getting the hook. We want to thank you for coming in. Great questions. Love to have you back anytime and ask a smart question.
I'll just keep writing them down.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And with that, we will see y'all next week.
Never seen a Bitcoin as you're going into the old blockchain. Oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, going to rain. Till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name. Down the road it will be told about the death.
streets of Old Mount Gox.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.